Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. 1 John 5:11. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. 1 John 5:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. Father, we are thankful again for the wonderful opportunity which is ours to focus our minds on the eternal truths of your word. We realize that the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of receiving spiritual fuel for our souls on a day-by-day basis. We realize also that we cannot do what we need to do. We cannot be what we should be in life if we do not understand how that magnificent your plan is in relationship to the cleansing of sin, the filling of the Spirit, and the ability to comprehend the Word of God by means of the power of the grace system. So we're thankful indeed today that we know and have opportunity on a day-by-day basis to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We have before us now some magnificent verses of Scripture. We pray that we will be able to hear attentively and carefully these wonderful verses and be able to utilize the things we learn from these verses today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may wonder why we're using Ephesians 4:11. But once we read through the passage of Scripture today, you're going to be able to see the reason for it. Ephesians 4:11 says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherd teachers." That's the verse of Scripture that we're going to analyze. But first of all, I would like for you to follow me now as I read with this verse and the following verses. We're going to read all the way down through verse 24. You'll follow along, please. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 4, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility, emptiness, mataotes of their minds. Verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 4, being darkened in their understanding, excluded the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness, lust for more. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. I'm sure that you're able to see that this is a powerful passage of Scripture indeed. I've taught this in the past. I cannot get over how much is found in these verses of Scripture. You may wonder why I chose Ephesians 4:11. But I wanted you to see that when we deal with the subject of spirituality, we have to understand that God has a plan. That plan is beautifully designed for us and presented to us in the verses which I've just read this morning. God's provisions are ample. That's the first thing we must realize. God's provisions are ample. We must also realize that God suffers no inflation. God suffers no inflation. Also, we must be aware of the fact that God excludes no one. No one is excluded from God's magnificent plan. We must also realize that God's royalty wardrobe, the wardrobe that he has for royalty, is extravagant. You don't have to worry about having enough to wear when it comes to your clothing designed for royalty. God's royalty wardrobe is extravagant. Also, you and I must realize that life can be productive. God desires that we be productive in life. That's the whole reason why we have the presentation of the scripture that we have for this particular session, Ephesians 4:11. Life can be productive. Also, we are responsible for growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we are reminded time and time again that we're to be perceptive to God's truth, having a hunger, a desire, an insatiable hunger for the mind of Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis. For that to become a reality, there must be self-discipline and there must be determination. Some of you are taking these thoughts down. Some of you are just looking at them. That's okay. Perhaps I should put these on the screen more often. But I want you to realize that the passage of Scripture that we're giving you today, along with the verses that follow in the passage of Scripture, Ephesians 4:11 down through verse 24, is an emphasis upon God's plan for mankind. Perception, spirituality, which demands self-discipline and demands determination. The thought that I want to present right here is spiritual IQ. Your spiritual IQ, my spiritual IQ, is only effective when you and I choose to live inside of the power sphere which is divine. Many, many times over the years we've looked at the divine power sphere. We've called it the love system, the interlocking systems of love. We've talked about it in different ways. We've understood, I believe, the importance of being in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that he has a wonderful plan for us. We've concluded, and we see it again today, that spiritual IQ can only be effective inside of this divine power sphere. We get into that sphere by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, which simply means we understand the concept of restoration to fellowship. We have to understand that we can get out of fellowship. We do get out of fellowship. When we're out of fellowship, our old sinful nature is in charge, and we are on the wrong track as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are influenced and under the control of our sinful nature, we're going to be making decisions and doing things that are not proper and not pleasing to God at all. That's the reason why I emphasize once again, spiritual IQ is only effective inside the divine power sphere. We're dealing with the subject of spirituality. If you'll look carefully at our scripture today, you will understand that it says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. There's an emphasis upon the pre-canon and the post-canon gifts. We'll not get into that in detail at the moment. We're emphasizing spirituality. And I want to tell you that the more I study this, the more I realize that this is a challenging study. I put it down for you to be able to see that I have concluded that it is important for me as a pastor of a people whom I love dearly for us to be able to understand that spirituality is a challenging study. I put this in capital letters not because it necessarily needs to be, but I trust you'll be able to read it from where you're sitting. Walking in love and in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a command for every born-again believer. If you can take this down and remember, put it down on paper or remember it in your mind, walking in love and walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a command for every born-again believer. What I would encourage you to say is, walking in love and the filling of the Holy Spirit is God's command for me. That means that you're making it personal. You're making it directed entirely to yourself. Draw this invisible circle around yourself and say, inside this circle, I'm responsible for walking in love. I'm responsible for walking in fellowship with my Lord Jesus Christ. Because I understand it is a command to me as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Number two, when a person is cleansed from sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, this condition is known as spirituality. I'm emphasizing time and time again the importance of the word spirituality. What does the word spirituality mean? Do we understand that it means that we are in right relationship with Jesus Christ? That we are in harmony with Him? We have Him in control of our lives? Every day of the week, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but every day that we live, every morning we get up, we should be keenly aware of the fact that we must have Jesus Christ, the master, the ruler, the controller, reigning in our lives. When a person is cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, this condition is known as spirituality. Number three, our Lord has provided the means by which we can be in fellowship with Him. And this is the filling of the Holy Spirit that's commanded in Ephesians 5:18. What I've discovered, and you've discovered this with me over the years, when God gives a command, He also makes it possible for that command to be obeyed. When God gives a command, He makes the conditions by which that can be done, that can be obeyed. And so in Ephesians 5:18, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, writing to the Ephesian believers, and I believe writing to us today, be not drunk with wine. Do not be under the control of wine, wherein is excess. but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. If he made the command for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then he's made possible the means by which that can be accomplished. And I believe that's what we're talking about here today. Our Lord has provided the means by which we can be in harmony and fellowship with him. That's obeying that command, Ephesians 5:18. Number four, this is accomplished by means of restoration to fellowship, as presented in 1 John 1:9. All of these things are not new to us. We've heard them thousands of times over the years. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. So we understand that the filling of the Holy Spirit is accomplished by means of restoration, as presented in 1 John 1:9. The Lord, number five, has also provided the written word, which we call spiritual food, whereby we, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that we may mature thereby. We probably haven't looked at that verse enough, but 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that we may mature thereby. And when you go to the Old Testament in Proverbs 8:33, we're told there, hear instruction, be wise, don't refuse it. That's an unusual, powerful verse. Proverbs 8:33 again. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. That somehow indicates to me that if we don't hear instruction, we're not wise. Is that the conclusion you would draw? I'm just taking it as it is. We're told to hear instruction and be wise. And what I would do is flip the coin over and say, on the other hand, you dumb dumb, if you want to be unwise, then don't hear instruction. Proverbs 23:12 exhorts us to apply your heart to discipline. It doesn't say apply your heart to wisdom there. It says apply your heart to discipline. And your ears to the words of knowledge. Proverbs 23:12. And Hebrews 5:14 reminds us that strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. And full age doesn't mean old. It means spiritual maturity. All right, let's look at those verses again. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may mature thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction, be wise, refuse it not. Proverbs 23:12, apply your heart to discipline, your ears to words of knowledge. Hebrews 5:14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, spiritual, mature ones. There are some false concepts of spirituality. For instance, spirituality is not the result of what we do, such as witnessing, giving, praying, dedicating, and so forth. I could add a bunch of other things here. You probably ought to write these things down and think about it. Spirituality is not the result of what we do. Spirituality is the result of what we are when we're properly related to Jesus Christ. You see the difference? Some people are of the opinion that you're spiritual because you do this and do that and do another thing, and that you're always involved in doing. Spirituality is not the result of what we do. Number two, spirituality is not imitating some outstanding believer in personality and talk, walk, mannerisms, dress. Sometimes people want to be like someone else that they know, whom they consider as an outstanding Christian. Not anything wrong with admiring someone who's an outstanding Christian, but you don't become an outstanding Christian by trying to be what someone else is, the way they act, the way they dress, the way they talk. If you hear someone saying, praise the Lord, and you say, praise the Lord, you think you're spiritual because they say, praise the Lord, and you say, praise the Lord, that puts you both in the right. I'm going to go on past that one. Spirituality then is not imitating some outstanding believer in personality, talk, walk, mannerisms. Number three, spirituality is not a series of forbidden activities. And now I need to stop right here and tell you that there are many things that people can do that are evil, sinful, but what I don't do does not spell spirituality. I've had it said many times, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't run around with those who do. Okay, now that's... Anyway, the Christian way of life is a supernatural way of life, which demands a supernatural means of execution. Now, if you've got my joke, that's okay. If you missed it, that's okay too. The Christian way of life is a supernatural way of life, which demands a supernatural way of execution. And that's the filling of the Spirit of God. And also the utilization of the mind of Jesus Christ. Number four, spirituality is not the result of comparing my more refined and respectable sins to your terrible and awful sins. Oh, I'm so good because I don't do what you do. I'm aware of the fact that I've seen you do this, that, and the other, and I don't do that, so I want you to know that I'm spiritual and you're not. You see what I'm saying? Spirituality is not the result of comparing my more refined and respectable sins to your terrible sins. Number five, spirituality is not asceticism. Let's talk about that. Known as monasticism or extreme self-denial. Some people are of the opinion that they give up food and they give up women and they give up smiling, therefore they're spiritual. All right, I'm not going to even stop on that one. Number six, spirituality is not emotionalism, ecstatics. Emotions are wonderful and have a proper place. However, man is in serious condition if he or she is depending upon their emotions in salvation or in spirituality. This is a powerful statement, and we can let it just slip away if we're not careful. Some people are of the opinion that if you don't cry when you're saved, you're probably not saved. And some people are of the opinion that if you don't cry, that simply means you are saved. Do you see what we're trying to emphasize here? We're talking about the fact that people depend upon emotions, depend upon how they feel, rather than what God's Word says. Stay with me. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and feel good and you will be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and cry and you will be saved. Does it say any of that? It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Stay with me and think about that. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He said it. We're to believe it. We're to accept it. He tells the truth. You put it down. If you've accepted Him, He's accepted you. It's more important that He's accepted you than you accepted Him, but it's important that you've accepted Him, because when you accepted Him, He accepted you. Spirituality is not emotionalism. I need to also remind you that emotions and emotionalism does have a proper place. I'm not denying that for one moment. I really believe that Christians who love the Lord and love His Word are happy people. And I believe that there's some emotion that goes along with that. Now, if y'all think I'm foolish at times and joyful at times and hilarious at times, that's okay. Just let me be, because I enjoy the Christian life. So it's okay. It's okay to enjoy emotions. Let's go on to the number 7. Spirituality is not ritualism. I go to church, I tithe, I attend church on Wednesday evening, therefore I'm spiritual. We know better than that. Number 8. Spirituality is not self-crucifixion. Oh, when you go to the book of Romans, you will discover that there's one thing that you and I cannot do, and that's crucify self. I believe that's the reason why Jesus Christ chose crucifixion. You and I are not going to be able to crucify self. Spirituality is not self-crucifixion. There are many false concepts and interpretations of crucifixion from Romans chapter 6. Self does not crucify self. Ego never cancels out ego. Spirituality is not personal improvement. I promised myself that if I had 4 or 5 minutes, I would give you the information that I had inserted in the previous message. So you're going to have to take these notes fast. I really believe it's important for us to see some things about the soul. We're born with an old sinful nature. If you want to just abbreviate these points very quickly, because I have so much to say next Sunday, I don't want to come back to this one. We're born with an old sinful nature. Number 2, Adam was not created with an old sin nature, which tells us that God is not the author of sin. Put it down. Adam was not created with an old sin nature. Number 3, Adam and Eve were created. From that point on, others perpetuated. Number 4, when Adam sinned, his spirit died, and he got an old sin nature. When Adam sinned, his spirit died, he got an old sin nature. So we have Adam and Eve, body, soul, and spirit. Disobedience. Body, soul, spirit died. Adam and Eve were created. From that point on, others perpetuated. When Adam sinned, his spirit died, and he got an old sin nature. The body, number 5, is the house for the soul. The real you is not your body. We've said this hundreds of times, but the soul and the spirit. As a born-again believer, your body brought you in here, but the real you is your soul and your spirit. It's important to see that. So, number 6, distinction must be made between the body and the spirit. Described, as I said in this first session, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the scripture we use, Hebrews 4:12. Number 7, the lost individual is described as a psychikos, soulish individual. We looked at that in the first service, 1 Corinthians 2:14. When the lost person, number 8, when the lost person dies, his soul continues to exist. No destruction or annihilation or purification. A lost person who dies lost continues to exist. Now, when I say no destruction, I mean there's no ending of that soul. That's what I mean by destruction, no destruction. Or annihilation or purification. Number 9. At birth, there is a prefabrication. At birth, there is a prefabricated, constructed beforehand place for life, which is the soul. At birth, there is constructed beforehand a place for life to go, which is the soul. At birth, number 10, because of depravity, the fall of man, Adam's sin, there's a place prefabricated for the impartation or imputation of Adam's original sin. The place is called the old sin nature. What this does, it spells condemnation. One of the things that I believe people don't see is, had there been no condemnation at birth, there could be no potential of salvation at God consciousness. We don't discuss that as much as we should. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we discover that the old sin nature came into existence. This spells condemnation. Had there been no condemnation at birth, there would have been no potential of salvation at God consciousness. That means then, and this is the last emphasis, Jesus Christ took our condemnation on the cross. And he was judged for us. We've talked about it many times. There are real imputations and judicial imputations. This is a judicial imputation. In other words, God imputed to us Adam's sin so that he could impute to Jesus Christ our personal sins. That's a judicial imputation. Let me say it like this in closing. You and I have no place for righteousness to go, so there has to be a judicial imputation. And that's exactly what happens when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. There's no place for salvation to go. We accept what God has done. It's a judicial imputation. There's no place for sin to go in Christ. So he has to be judged for us. It's a judicial imputation. He was judged for us. And so the scripture says that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so Christ died once. So we see it, don't we? And he died that we might live by believing and accepting his provision of salvation. Wow. Time to go. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Thank you, Father, for the great gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're aware of the fact that there's so much for us to receive as we open our eyes to the Word of God. And the passage of Scripture which we read at the beginning of this service is so powerful. We realize that we have the responsibility in a dark and sinful world of giving out the gospel of light, good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And for those who hear the message who've never accepted Christ, may they understand that salvation could be theirs if they would accept this magnificent gift, the gift of God through Jesus Christ, who was willing to live and die and be buried and come forth out of the grave, who even at this moment sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession. We pray for those who hear the message who've never accepted Christ, that they may understand the importance of believing, even at this moment, accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.